Hello, everybody. We want to welcome you to the program. Thank you so much for joining us for Shane Warren Live. We're coming to you live from the beautiful mountains of Cookeville, Tennessee, where it is hot with a capital H. And
I'm pretty sure there's capital other letters in there that don't belong in hot.
Yes, it's really hot here, which is unusual for the mountains of Tennessee. We're glad that you guys are tuning in tonight. We've got a great show for you, informational show that's going to give you a lot of real good ammunition in your walk with the Lord and in dealing with the daily things concerning life. Now, I just want to warn you, this is a no political correct zone. As you know, every single week we come together and we put the smackdown on stupid. So we're going to do that tonight. Thank you again for tuning in. I do want to ask you to do something for me. As you're tuning in and you're jumping in on the Super Chat, we want you to please tell us where you're watching from and give us a great thumbs up. Make sure that you do hit the like button. Make sure that you do subscribe to the YouTube channel and make sure that you hit that notification bell. What that does is allows us to communicate with you, especially when we go live in very critical times, times of emergency. We are doing our best to bring the best material and information that we can bring to you that will equip you for where we're at right now concerning the issues that are going on, not only in America, but around the world. Already Super Chat is lighting up with people jumping on. And one last thing I want to ask you to do for me before we get into tonight's show, make sure that you share the feed. The best advertiser for this program is you. And so if you would share the feed right now to all of your social media platforms, it will get other people on the live show with us tonight, and we can have a discussion. Here, we operate by a single premise, and that is that we believe that having a discussion can lead to a discovery. And the Bible says, the wisest man who's ever lived, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth that you know shall make you free." So we're trying to lead us all into a discovery. Now, you have permission tonight to give us your opinion about everything that we're talking about, whether you agree or disagree. Especially, I want to encourage you that if you disagree, let us know you disagree, but also tell us why you disagree, and in the Super Chat, give us the reasons why you disagree with what we're talking about. Chime in with your opinions. Feel free. We want this to be a discourse and not just somebody standing up here and giving you a lecture. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about, in this particular podcast, we're going to be talking about defending the faith. That is the topic tonight. Religious freedom, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the core principles upon which our great nation, America, and our system of government was based. And yet, religious freedom in America is under assault. Now, I'm not the only one who is saying this. There are people from almost every spectrum of religion that feel like religious freedom is under assault, specifically in America, but it's happening around the world. You can turn on your television screens on any night. You can scroll through social media and you'll find out that politicians mock faithful's claims of religious conscience, while government entities and actors and others treat religious freedom and expression as obstacles to overcome rather than as important values to protect. But individuals of all faiths, or even no faith at all, from all points of the political and ideological spectrum, need to be alarmed by what we're seeing right now as this mounting assault of the free exercise of religion and freedom of religious expression is on the rise. Ladies and gentlemen, the erosion of one of the very basic constitutional rights that we have, especially one as fundamental as religious liberty and freedom of speech, they serve as a precedent for the erosion of all the other rights to the detriment of all Americans. So yeah. It's not just about Christianity being protected here. We're talking about religious liberty across the board. I don't care what faith you're from. Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I believe and stand on the Bible and hold to very fundamental Christian values. But if you're watching and you're of a different faith, we want you to know that our founding fathers believe strongly that you should have the ability to express that faith, whether I agree with it or not. All across America right now, religious institutions and individuals are being subjected to increasing restrictions on their free exercise of religion and freedom of speech. There is a crackdown that can be seen in a variety of professionals, areas that everything from healthcare to education. It's all over the place. From public schools to private schools, there is this assault that seems to be taking place. And this rising disregard for religious liberty represents, I believe, a very marked break from a long-standing American tradition of accommodating religious practice and expression that predates, and I want you to hear what I'm saying today, this predates the ratification of the Constitution. What I'm trying to tell you right now is that the freedom to live, the freedom to speak in accordance with one's religious tenets or one's belief system is one of the very core principles upon which the American system of government is based, with a very historical foundation that does predate the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution. And we can see this all throughout history. I don't have time to cite all of those right now, but maybe our guest here in a few moments can talk about that at a deeper level. You see, the deep reverence that America's earliest leaders held for religious freedom stands in very stark contrast to the disdain for the claims of religious conscience seemingly held by some current government leaders and some officials in the media world. For example, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, the Democrat from California, famously stated that healthcare providers who refuse on moral grounds to perform abortions have this conscience thing, quote, unquote. In other words, she's bringing in religion into the discussion and saying that religion should not have a voice at the table when it concerns pro-choice versus pro-life. This is just one of many examples that I can cite for you. Basically, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a very precarious time, because if we lose the fundamental right of free speech and the fundamental right of the free practice of religion, everything else becomes a slippery slope, and we will watch our country go into the dregs very, very quickly. Well, because of this subject and because of some of the things that are going on around the world, but specifically in America, I've invited a very dear friend who is going to be our very special guest tonight. This man is one of the most brilliant men that I know, especially when it comes to the issue of defending the faith. Frank Harbor is an attorney. He's a Christian minister. He will be coming to the Bend in Cookeville, Tennessee to speak at some point. He is the president and he's the chief counsel of Defending the Faith Alliance, which focuses on defending the Christian faith through Christian legal defense and through apologetics. Now, the Defending the Faith Alliance has a very unique focus upon defending the religious liberty of Christians and churches, and more information about the Defending the Faith Alliance can be found. And I want you to pay attention to this website, because there's a book that you can download for free right now if you go to this website, defendingthefaith.law, defendingthefaith.law. Frank Harbor was actually once a very big skeptic of the Christian faith. He now speaks about the truthfulness of Christianity. Here's what's interesting. He was converted to Christianity after doing a very critical examination of the claims of Jesus Christ. He's the author of a book called Sherlock's Faith, which is an investigator's guide to Christianity and prove it. He is the leading voice in modern apologetics right now. He's the co-founder of, co-creator of Got Life, which is a creative resource that combines the simple gospel presentation with a very powerful apologetic stance that brings people to Christ. Frank, has twice received the Evangelical Press Association Award of Excellence, which is given for top Christian magazine articles of the year. He has preached in over 800 churches, including some of the largest churches in our nation. From 2001 to 2006, Frank hosted a radio show called The Real Life, which was aired daily on over 1,200 radio stations nationwide. From 2002 to 2006, he was the co-host of Fire Away along with Kirby Anderson. This was a live call-in show on American Family Radio. Frank has also made appearances on television and other media outlets alongside such great men and women like Billy Graham and June Hunt and others. He is a wonderful, wonderful man. In 2002, Frank was the chairman for the Resolutions Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention, which was held in St. Louis. He authored the very historical first ever Southern Baptist Convention resolution pledging prayer for peace in the Middle East and support for the nation of Israel. He holds a PhD degree from Southwestern Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, where he completed his doctoral degree program in a record-setting 2.5 years. He's formerly a faculty member as a professor at Southwestern Theological Seminary and has also taught in the world-famous Criswell College in Dallas, Texas. He also holds a doctorate in jurisprudence from Texas A&M University, a law school. And he has a free book that he wants to give you. This book is entitled Objection Overruled, Responding to the Top Objections to Christianity. To get this free book, all you got to do is simply go to defendingthefaith.law. I want you to welcome with me to our program tonight, Frank Harbor, who is an attorney and one of the smartest men I know. Frank, thank you so much for taking the time. I told you earlier, but I mean it again. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us tonight.
Well, God bless you, Shane Warren. And how is the great state of Tennessee? Because last time I saw you, you were in Monroe, Louisiana.
Yeah, I was in West Monroe, Louisiana, right across the river.
West Monroe. Those are two different places, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Well, yeah, they would say
it is. I could get in trouble.
Yeah, you could right there. But everything is great in Tennessee. We're loving it in the mountains here and glad to be back home. This is our home. This is our stomping ground. So we're glad to be back in this area. Well, I understand that you just flew from Nashville, as you were telling me, back home to the Dallas area yesterday. What was you doing in the Nashville area?
Well, we had a religious liberty case in Kentucky that was in Louisville. It was successfully settled. It was a win. I can't talk about the details of the case because the settlement is confidential, but it's a great day for us, you know, for one of our religious liberty cases to have, you know, a very positive, meaningful conclusion. And we're excited about it. I was there. I also spoke at a Bible study there for one of my friends in Kentucky and then, you know, flew back out of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, I sure hate that I miss you. If I'd have known you were there, I'd have made sure I was in Nashville to see you. Well, we brought you on, Frank, because we get a lot of questions here about religious liberty, about where America is headed. What we would like to hear from you tonight, maybe just to start out, is what are you seeing? You're on the front lines of this thing, battling, and I know God put this on your heart several years ago, and you've stepped into the fight, especially, I think, if I remember right, and you correct me on this, didn't you really step in when people were fighting over churches being shut down? Was this pre-pandemic, or is that when it got really thick and heavy for you, or were you doing stuff before then?
We launched right before the pandemic, but then we got into the midst of it because, you know, we helped over 3,000 people get a religious exemption from taking the vaccination. And, you know, just to be clear, you know, our opinion on the vaccination is that everybody ought to be able to have the choice to take it.
Right.
You know, the problem that we had was with the mandate. So, you know, I believe if, you know, the Holy Spirit tells this individual to take it, that's awesome. But, you know, there's some people who felt like that God was leading them a different direction, and we helped them. And we actually helped both sides. But anyway, that probably brought our, you know, new ministry into the spotlight, because prior to that, I had had ministry on one side separate. I had a very successful law practice on the other side, and I actually was going to stop practicing law. But my mother suggested to me that that was not a good move and was a waste of a law degree and a law career. And she said, you know, Frank, and I told her, I said, but you know, Mom, I'm not a lawyer. I'm a minister. You know, I'm struggling with this. And she goes, what you need to do is combine them. Mm. And Shane, ever since I've combined them, you know, I would say my life, my ministry has just gotten magical.
Right.
That God has blessed it. And, you know, I can tell you that, you know, I went to law school after I was a successful minister, you know, thinking that there was a hole in my life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got hurt real bad at a church, and I just thought, you know, if I go to law school, this will make me feel better. And probably the worst day of my life was when I won my first trial. I've won over 100 trials. But the first one I ever won, I was driving home, and I was expecting to have this incredible feeling like you do as a minister.
Right.
You know, if you preach the gospel and, you know, people get saved, or you baptize somebody, even if you do a funeral or a wedding, you make this incredible connection with people that is just, it's just an incredible spiritual. I didn't get that when I won my first trial. And, you know, I won a bank, a bunch of money, and I came home so empty. And Shane Warren, I thought, I have made the biggest mistake of my life. I went to law school, got a law degree, and I am totally miserable. This was the dumbest idea I've ever had. And so I was going to quit. And my mom said, you know, no, you're looking at it. God led you to go to law school. What you need to do is you need to combine them. And we have, and it's just been an explosion. And it's probably just the God's timing, because I've never seen a point in our nation that we've needed a defense of religious liberty like we are having now. So Shane, what I'm seeing is the problem that we have in our world is it's about the truth. Who has the truth? Is there such thing as objective truth?
Right.
Or is there just subjective truth?
Mm-hmm.
As, you know, as Christians, we hold that the Bible, Old and New Testaments, is an inspired book. It's an authoritative book. It's an authentic book. And is worthy to be trusted. And many people like myself and you, we've staked everything we have on this book, mm-hmm. and on this truth. Now, what happens is that in our modern society, you know, as man gets more modern, these are not new problems, but, you know, man thinks, you know, ever since the Enlightenment, you know, hey, we've grown up past a lot of these ideas that are found in the Bible. And, you know, one of them, and we can talk about it tonight, is this idea of what is marriage, mm-hmm. you know, that marriage is between one man and one woman. Well, heck, I mean, you know, we're even in a discussion about what is a woman,
right?
And what is a man? I mean, we are living in incredibly difficult times. This battle, you know, many of our cases, I could tell you about some of them, you know, they go all the way down into the schools where, you know, where there's a gender war,
yeah,
with children and pronouns and everything else. And, you know, this thing is a battle over the truth. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, I believe, want to cancel God. I believe a lot of people are attempting, and many are doing it, they're censoring God, and they're censoring the people of God and the ministers of God. In fact, if it keeps going the way it's going right now, in a few years, you won't even be able to have a podcast like you're doing tonight, because there's many people want to shut that down. They don't want an alternative voice. Mm. They don't want, you know, anything but, you know, their narrative being out there. But of course, that's not the way that the God of the Bible rolls. God doesn't force anybody to choose him, doesn't force anybody to follow him. God allows dissent, just like you are having in the super chat, because, you know, God is love. He wants to win people. He doesn't want to force people.
Right.
And so, you know, I became a Christian after I was an atheist, and I was an atheist for 21 years, and I couldn't stand Christianity. I couldn't stand Christians. In fact, I thought the Bible was a book of lies. I thought it was a book of fairy tales that just didn't make sense. You know, when I was little, I went to a church where they taught me several things. They taught me that Adam and Eve weren't real. They taught me that Noah wasn't a real person, and there wasn't a flood that covered the whole world.
Wow. And this was a church?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is the church that I grew up at when I was a little kid. And so, you know, what happens is when you start hearing some of this stuff as a little kid in Sunday school, you start saying, well, you know what, if some of it's not true, well, I think all of it's not true.
At the very least, you know, decide what you don't want to believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so I just thought, you know, the Bible's myths and fairy tales. And I was taught that Adam and Eve were just made up people to try to help us teach us some moral lessons about God. And you know, so I was in, you know, elementary school, and I saw a picture of a hominid, which is an ape-man type creature that basically contradicts the narrative of the book of Genesis. And I went, I'm out, man. I'm gonna go to church, and I'm gonna sit there polite, but the moment that I can check out, I am out of here. And when I grow up, I will not be at church. That was me. Yeah. So, and I was awful, you know, I mean, you know, for kids that grew up in churches and stuff that tried to witness to me, I was the town atheist. I was the guy you did not want to run into. I was a buzzsaw. I thought I was intellectually, you know, the dude. And so when I was 21 years of age, though, I had a pastor who didn't respond to my normal rhetoric, and he challenged me to prove that Christianity was not the truth. And so I did this big investigation, and what I discovered was, to my amazement, that there is all kinds of evidence that shows Christianity is the truth, evidence from science and history, archaeology, prophecy, many different areas, which, you know, shows forth that Christianity is true. Because I thought that to become a Christian, you had to check your brains out of the door. I thought to become a Christian, you had to commit intellectual suicide. But what I discovered was becoming a Christian is one of the most reasonable, intelligent decisions that you can ever make. But you have to come to God, as we know from the Bible, by faith. In fact, the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Yeah.
So to come to God, you have to come to him through faith. And Shane, you're smarter than I am. You say, somebody says, well, why is that? And I'm like, I don't know. I just know this, that without it, it's impossible to please God. And there's probably all kinds of theories. Why? Because God could solve a lot of doubt problems right now, because he could just write up on the, you know, on the sky, I am real.
Yeah.
And ride it over all seven continents, and this thing would just be over, wouldn't it? But if he did that, there wouldn't be any faith. And so, you know, God has given enough evidence that if you want to see it, the Romans says it's clearly seen.
Yeah.
But he's also left it vague enough that there you can doubt it and live your life doubting it. Now, there's a lot of people who were like me who lived in that season of doubt with great boldness and great confidence, thinking that I knew all the answers and I knew everything there was to know about God. Well, the truth was, I didn't know anything, Shane. I was an ignorant person. I'll tell people I'm an agnostic. You know what agnostic means in Latin?
Right.
Ignoramus.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I'd sit there and, you know, tell people at a party, I'm an agnostic. Looking back now, I'm like, boy, I'm just sitting around telling people I'm an ignoramus. And you know, that was one of the most true things I would have told him in that conversation.
Yeah.
Because I had never studied it for myself. But when I did, that's when I found all this evidence that is different for Christianity than is true. You know, there's thousands of religions in the world, but Christianity is the one that checks out. That's the one that you should study and find out. Life is short. Eternity is long.
Yeah.
So, you know, you need, you know, if somebody's listening to me, you need to go find this thing out for yourself.
Right.
You need to study this thing.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned something, you know, while you were talking there that I know there's a lot of people. This has been actually the main topic in Super Chat for probably the last 3 weeks. People are very concerned about the educational system, the removal of God, prayer, everything out of the school system, and now the introduction of all of this sexual education. I wouldn't even call it education. It's more indoctrination of deviance of every kind being opened up in our school system. On the legal front, what are you experiencing there?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, all of this started in our country, you know, in the 40s with the change in the Supreme Court. And, you know, so we have protections in the Constitution. One is the Free Exercise Clause.
Right.
And the other is the Establishment Clause. And the Establishment Clause is the one that people began to misunderstand. And the Establishment Clause simply says that Congress shall make no law establishing religion.
Yeah.
Now, when the Bill of Rights was ratified, I will tell you that at that time, there were five states who had state religions. And you say, well, man, that sounds really weird. I know, because we don't have them now. In fact, you could live in one state and your tax dollars would support an Anglican minister. You could live in another state and the tax dollars would support a Congregational minister. And you go, hey, I don't like that. And they go, hey, you need to move to the next state, man, if you don't like it. And so that, you know, they had these state ministers, and so people began to get concerned. Hey, we don't want to do that with the national. So part of the Bill of Rights was to put in the Establishment Clause, and listen to the words carefully. Congress shall make no law. Now, there was a Supreme Court decision, which basically said that the Establishment Clause could apply to states, localities, and municipalities via the 14th Amendment. Now, the problem with that is that, you know, the Constitution is a document that is very, very special to our country. In fact, it can only be ratified by the vote of the states. You know, a lot of people think that they can just, you know, run roughshod over the Constitution and but it actually takes a constitutional amendment to change the Constitution. Well, we have protections that are in the Constitution and the Establishment Clause. People began to use that to try to say what that means is you can't have God in any form of government, and that we have to remove all forms of God from all forms of government. And the problem with all of that, just jumping back to the initial thing, Shane, is this, that's not what it was meant for. You know, so we have to look at the intent of laws when they're written. You know, as a lawyer, you know, the lawmaking process is interesting. But sometimes you need to look at how they made the sausage when you get into court cases, and you have to look at back in the actual notes and look at what's called legislative intent.
Right.
But we know that when the Bill of Rights was passed at that very time, as I said, there were five states with religions, but also at that time they had, 1792. We know that presidents swore in as president on a Bible. That started, you know, with George Washington, and continued on. We know that they prayed in Congress. We know that people brought sermons in that time in Congress. We know that there were chaplains who, you know, received government money to be chaplains. And so, you know, the purpose of the Establishment Clause was not to remove God from government. We got a lot of people who just, that now they're attacking, they're using the legal systems schools are a prime target for these type of things. And so the schools have just been a bastion of legal cases from the 1940s on, with all kinds of stuff, and will continue to be, particularly with some of the issues that, you know, are confronting us now with families.
What can parents do? I mean, you know, I talked to a lot of people. They feel helpless in the situation. They feel like the government is actually against them. You know, but the law's on our side, but what can parents do?
Well, parents have to realize that they have more power than they think. We just had a program. I have a show too called Defending the Faith, and we just had a group on called Moms for Liberty. Mm-hmm. And they're actually organizing all around the country, where moms are standing up for their children and their schools. And, you know, that's something that is, I think a lot of people who've been doing a lot of this stuff in schools have just assumed that we as the state have all the power over your children. So you as a parent need to sit down and be quiet. Well, no. You know, as parents, we're voters, and we allow the school system to come together as a collective unit to take care of our children. And there's no way that we should, you know, cede that power over to school teachers, who certainly don't want what's best for my child more than I do. And, you know, if there's parents listening to me, I mean, that's an incredible thing to think that there's a school system out there that would love your kids more than you'd love them, or want what's best for your kids more than you would. And so, you know, we're seeing all these problems with school boards and, you know, meetings and all this stuff, because they weren't expecting for parents to show up and stand up for their rights. But I'm going to tell you, Shane, and it's going to show up in the next election cycles. You make mama bears mad,
right?
And mama bears fight for the kids.
Right. Yeah. I think they're overplaying their hand on some of this. And seems to be the sentiment that we're hearing on our side is the parents feel like some of these school boards and leadership in high places aren't listening to them. And as a result, they don't have recourse. But what I'm hearing you say, the very fact that they're showing up to these school board meetings and here, there's a lot of pressure there, because there are some legal things that we can do if it's pushed to that degree, correct? I mean, if it's pushed that far, there are things that parents can do class action wise.
Absolutely. And there's new things coming up. So you live in Tennessee, and we have a few things that we're doing in Tennessee, but we got a call recently from Tennessee. And basically the call was this: my child has been told to use the proper pronouns toward other children, or they will be academically disciplined, and this will go on their record if they don't. Wow. And, you know, a lot of parents were shocked by this, because they were like, can the school do this to me? Particularly in one case, the call that we received, there's a boy in this particular school who now insists that he's a girl. And so he says that his preferred pronouns are, you know, her and she, only to, you know, a few months later, for everybody who, you know, started agreeing to that, started noticing the boy likes girls and was trying to date girls and everything else. And so they confront this boy, to which he wasn't fazed at all. He said, I'm a lesbian. You know,
oh my gosh.
And so it was shortly after that that our phone rang, you know, here and said, hey, you know, this is going on in Tennessee. I mean, it's going out on right there,
right?
Where you are, Shane Warren.
Yeah, we're actually hearing teachers saying that they're getting threats from people in leadership that they have to use these pronouns.
Yeah.
And have to recognize these things. Is that factual? Do they have to do that?
I'll tell you what, I believe, and I just spoke with a friend of mine. He's an attorney in Kentucky, and we were talking while I was in Kentucky about what's happening in Tennessee. And we believe that there are options here. And in fact, there's two approaches to it. One is, it might be the strongest, is a First Amendment right, you know, right, not to have this compelled speech. Mm-hmm. Okay, but let's think about something number two, because like if you call our office and you have a religious liberty case, you know, we're going to take it. If you have a, you know, just a regular secular case, I'm not going to take your case. So it's got to be something that involves religious liberty. And most of our cases that we take, Shane, we do for free. We do pro bono. If you call us up and you need help, I mean, we're not going to turn you away. I mean, we're going to figure out a way to get you help. And, you know, here's the thing. We take religious liberty cases. So let's say that you're a Christian and you're in a situation where you believe that you are having to call other people pronouns that you don't believe are truth.
Right.
That you don't believe are correct. So my question would be, is it a legitimate religious belief to believe that if I go along with that, I may be lying or participating in a lie or participating or in an untruth or, you know, doing something that, you know, that looks like I'm agreeing with this or consenting to this when it involves children, because, you know, there's a thing in the Bible that says we don't ever want to be involved in deceiving children. It right. says, you know, woe to those
right.
Who do that. It'd be better for them that a millstone was hung around their neck, you know, mm-hmm. than to lead little ones astray. Right. That was straight from the mouth of Jesus. So I think there is a religious component to this. There is going to be a big battle over this.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, just because it's been done on social media doesn't mean that the battle's won. A lot of people think that. They think, hey, you know, we can just shut people down. If yeah. Shane Warren says something about this, we'll just turn him off. We'll just cancel him. We'll just remove him. But it's not going to work. This thing is about, you know, what does God say? Because right. as a Christian, I believe that, you know, Jesus said this. He said, have you not heard? This is how it was in the beginning, that God made them male and female.
Yeah.
You know, and this is how it was in the beginning, you know. So now we've got a thing where there's 54 genders.
All right. 70, you know, 72 now.
72
now. Oh, it yeah. grows every day. You know, the one that got me the other day, I was looking, and here was one of the categories. It said other. What's other?
Right.
I mean, is that really a gender?
Yeah.
I mean, are you really another other from another brother and another mother looking for somebody other?
Yeah, right.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean, well, I've been looking, waiting for my, I was born another and I'm looking for another, you know, I mean, you well, know, so, I mean, we've gotten to just a crazy
yeah.
level.
One of the people that's on Super Chat right now is actually sharing an instance of this that has happened here, I guess. She said, my friend is a music teacher, took her choir on a competition where this boy decided that he was a girl and wanted to sleep in the girls' hotel rooms. Yeah. She fought the principal, and she ended up fighting the mother. The problem is she was not allowed to inform the parents of the other girls at all about this incident. So this stuff is happening, you know, not only here but all over the country. And again, I think they're overplaying their hand. I think it's exactly what you said. They're waking up a bear that they don't want to mess with. And but at the same time, people are kind of like at the end of the rope. What can we do? I can't tell you how many people have asked me, can Christians get together and form class action groups that take some of these things on? Like, for example, I can't go into the public library here and hold a Christian event, but yet we had transvestites here in the public library that were reading school children books about the gay lifestyle and transvestism. And so why is that? Why is it, you know, and I know what their excuse is. Well, that's not a religion, but it is a belief system, right? That we're imposing upon them. And so stuff like this is going all the time. Danielle is asking in the chat, what can we do about censoring or preventing specific activities from being in schools that something family-friendly places, specific activities like drag shows, story time, et cetera? What can they do? Is there anything they can do to stand against that other than just show up to the school board meetings and
vote for school board members?
Yeah, vote for school board members. I mean, what else can they do, Frank?
Well, I mean, you're nailing the two right there. And one is we have to show up. And I mean, that's the first thing that you learn in law school. You know, you can't win a case unless you show up.
Right.
And I think for a long time, you know, Christians, we've been able to win without showing up. I don't think that's true anymore.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the other thing is that, you know, there's a church that's, I'm in South Lake, Texas right now. So there's a church that's within 1 mile of where I'm at right here on South Lake Boulevard. And you know, the pastor very, very well, Shane.
Yeah.
So just think about your favorite church probably in South Lake, and that's who it is. What they do at this church is whenever school board elections come up, they simply put up on the screen who in that church is active and a member in good standing is running.
Yeah.
And it is changed. It has made the difference. And, you know, they're saying, you know, we're just letting you know this information, because Christians, if we actually showed up, we could change the world with our vote. Yeah. There's enough of us that we could change the schools. We could change everything else. I'll give you an example. One of them is called furries. Do you know what a furry is?
No,
unfortunately.
You know what a furry is?
A furry is someone who has, I guess you'd call it a fetish, but they identify more as an animal or a pet. And it's a highly sexualized thing from my understanding. Frank, you probably have, even more information about that than I do, but I know enough to be outraged.
One of the things that's going to happen after this meeting is you and I are going to pray about how you know about furries. But anyway, go ahead, Frank. Sorry.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, if you see a kid walking down the street with a tail sticking out of their britches, that's probably a furry.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, so when you see a kid with a tail, and I mean, it's a mind-boggling thing when you see it, that's a furry. Now, there's a bunch of kids, they'll go to school. So it's a kid who identifies as an animal. And a lot of them that do this, they take it to a whole new level. They'll say Sally, you know, when they call Rose Sally, and instead of saying here, they'll go meow. And,
oh my gosh.
And so, you know, they'll call on them to, you know, hey, you know, tell us, you know, what is 2 + 2? Meow, meow. You know, so, I mean, they live this role as furries to the degree that we got a call not far from your area, another Tennessee, a lot of good stuff coming out of Tennessee.
I thought I was in the same state.
Oh, yeah. I hope you boys are taking care of stuff. So we got a call from Tennessee where someone was in a school board meeting. And somebody asked if she said, I have a daughter that's in this school and I don't always agree with her, but I love her. And recently she came up to me and she told me that she identified as a furry and she's a cat. And, you know, she said, I don't necessarily agree with my daughter, but I love her so much that I came up here to ask this school system if you would put a litter box in the girls' bathroom. For her.
A litter box.
Yes. Yes. And
now I know.
Now I know why I talk about this show wants to put the smackdown on stupid.
There's a lot out there to be smacked down.
I've never heard of this before. I didn't know that we got this dumb, really.
Oh, and so now if you Google furries, it gets even more interesting if you want to go down this rabbit hole. So if you Google furries, they'll say, It's an urban legend. No school system has ever put in a litter box. Well, and fact checkers will put that on. Google it, see what happens. Well, that is sort of true because no school system has. What they're not telling you is there have been numerous requests for litter box.
Right.
Because let's think about this, gentlemen. If you start saying, hey, what you really are is who you identify as. That is the truth. That is the objective truth. Well, now you've changed the game. You've opened the Pandora's box, because one day you could say, you know, you could come home and tell somebody, well, you know, hey, look, I'm in love with a rock. You know, you probably didn't know this, but I'm actually a rock. I found a piece of granite that I found profoundly. I fall in love. Not only that, but there's people who are now identifying as, you know, 65 years old. And they say, yeah, I should be given retirement benefits because I, you know, am a senior citizen now. You have others, and we knew this would come, who would say, well, I identify as a child.
Yeah.
And I should be able to date children, and I should be able to show affection to children, and so forth and so on. And so, you know, that's why when somebody starts talking about, you know, litter boxes are being introduced at schools, you know, there's a lot of people going, no, fact check that fact. That's not true. Because, you know, they want this thing to progress at a certain level. It's like boiling a frog, you know, in a kettle. If you boil the frog real slow, he won't jump out. Right. But if you throw a bunch of boiling water, he's going to jump out. Well, I tell you, it's come to the place as Christians that you should be feeling the heat. If you're keeping up, if you're seeing what's going on in the news, and I mean, basically the news is not news anymore. It's not the same as when we were kids.
Right.
It's spin, and they're telling us how to believe. They're not presenting two sides of the story. They're trying to tell us who we have to vote for. They're telling us how we have to think on issues. We don't have, you know, the ability to have free speech and free thought and an open dialogue.
Yeah.
I mean, what happened to the old liberals, the old hippie liberals?
Yeah.
Who said, look, man, you know, we just need, I just believe in everybody's right to, you know, have their opinion and to say this. And, you know, even if what you're saying is the stupidest thing in the world, I believe you have the right and the freedom to say that. I love those old liberals. I kind of miss them.
They're far right now, because if you deviate from the from the progressive talking point, now you're extreme far right.
You know, this whole thing about showing up is, I think, is the key thing here. What we experienced in the past, we had this power grab, right? So we have government officials having a power grab, taking rights and even these religious rights. And now it's like a power give. You know, it's like we're giving power to all the wrong things.
Yeah, now that we have it, we're going to distribute it.
That's exactly right. And part of the reason for that is because we're not showing up. You know, when you look at the perspective of freedom, it's really one-sided. And that perspective is to condemn religion or to eliminate God. That is the freedom that most people or a lot of people think is out there. But the fact that, you know, this whole separation of church and state thing that starts all of these things, starts the cycle, is the fact that, you know, it started with separation of church and state. Then it rolls down to separation of church and school. Then separation of church and work, which is where I am. And as a career, you know, person, I experienced that in my job. And you know, Frank, the whole mention of the mixing the career and your ministry together, I think there's more of that that's really needed. We need to be able to show up in that environment. And then there's separation of church and the grocery store line, separation of church and genders. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, because we're allowing this power to be distributed, right?
Yeah. If the church ever needed to wake up, it needs to wake up now and stand up. We're running out of time. I've got a couple of things I want to get into. The current or the recent leaks from the stance of Supreme Court on Roe versus Wade. What are you sensing? What are you feeling on that? What are you encountering when it comes to that? I know that's going to be a huge battle.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the biggest, one of the things that this country is built on is rule of law. Okay. So rule of law is what has driven this country. And rule of law simply says this, that the law applies equally to everyone. I mean, it doesn't matter. The law applies equally to everyone. And what we're seeing is with some people pushing agenda is it's like, okay, this law applies to you, but not to me.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm in court all the time. And I'll tell you what, if I call a judge up, I'm going to get arrested because you can't do, I mean, they warn you on sites, you know, don't even, you know, try to accidentally dial up a judge. So here we have people who are clearly committing crimes, showing up at these justices' houses.
Serious
but
crimes.
But nothing's being done because it's not the right justices. Because
right.
I guarantee if they show up at a certain other people's justice's house, something's going to happen there. And so that flies in the face of rule of law, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, here's another comment on that. It's intimidation of the judges first. If that doesn't work, then the next play of the government is probably stacking the court, right?
Yeah.
Then you begin to have liberals who begin to stack the court because the intimidation isn't working.
Yeah. Well, I noticed there was a big article yesterday about them pushing the day of rage. And they're saying that if something doesn't go a certain way on this, they're asking for a day of rage. And it's not, we're not talking about just boycotting or peaceful protests. They're actually, this is Antifa kind of stuff.
Well, you've got the organization called Jane's Revenge.
That's one of the organizations.
Yeah, that's like literally advocating for firebombing, committing acts of terrorism against clinics that are not abortion clinics.
Yeah, and I have in my email almost multiple emails on a daily basis where these agendas are attacking pro-life centers. Clinics and I mean this is really dangerous stuff, and what strikes me about this, it's all the stuff they accuse the religious right, the hard right, of doing, that we're the conspiracy theorists, we're the people of violence and anger and division and racism and all of that. But it's like this scenario is being pushed. A couple of weeks ago we did a whole show on civil war, the possibility of civil war in America. And I started out my discourse just like I did today, and I said, now I know you think that these are my words, but actually these are the words of the liberal left. They're actually saying that America is going to go into civil war. And then so when you see comments like this encouraging a day of rage if they don't get their way, you know, and so anything else you want to comment on where we need to be, what we need to do on the home front? I know we've been fighting for years when it comes to Roe versus Wade.
Well, you know, the sanctity of the court is important, and that's why we have distinct branches of government, you know, the executive, the legislative, and the judicial. And that's the way our country needs to stay to stay secure. And, you know, this whole issue, you know, Jane's Revenge, Jane, you know, we just had the attorney who represented, you know, Jane Roe on this program. Of course, she changed her mind.
Right.
And, you know, we have affidavits and all kinds of stuff based on that. She wouldn't want that. It's not her revenge. But, you know, really, there's nothing too radical here if Roe versus Wade gets reversed, because all it's saying is that it should be put into the hands of the people to vote. It should be put back to the states for a vote instead of, you know, nine people in robes declaring, thus says the law.
Right.
And, you know, that's what we're trying to get away from. You shouldn't legislate from the bench, nor should the executive branch unduly try to influence things. So, you know, our country is needing to have some things get righted back so that we can have balance, just like the founding fathers intended.
Okay. All right. Another issue. What about the recent things that are going on with the right to own firearms and some of the legislation that's coming down the pipe there? What we're actually going to
just had a Supreme Court decision regarding New York's restrictions on the Second Amendment, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was actually very controversial. I think the letter from the Supreme Court said that it should be all citizens of the United States have the right to carry without a permit.
It does say that the right belongs to the people. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, we've been infringing it forever.
Yeah.
But that is literally what the First and Second Amendment says.
Yeah. Well, so what are you hearing along those lines? That's one of the questions that we have tonight.
Well, I'm going to let you guys talk more about it than me, because some of the things y'all just shared right there, I didn't know. But, you know, keep in mind, I'll say this is just a broad thing, and then I'll ask for y'all's comments. The Second Amendment is an amendment. It's
exactly.
It's in the Bill of Rights, and the only way that can be changed is not by a law, but by a constitutional amendment. So,
So the president can't sign an executive order and undo all of that as people think that he can.
Right.
Yeah.
But he'd have the benefit of a massive federal bureaucracy to help enforce his executive order, whether it agreed with the Constitution or not. At least that's my interpretation of how things have been going for the last several administrations.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Frank, what if you, you know, with some final comments tonight, what would you encourage the people? If you could, if there's anything that right now that you could tell the people that they really need to be focused on and what they need to do, what would be your advice to the folks listening?
We got to show up. So, I mean, Christians need to think about getting involved more than they ever have before, because if we don't stand up for our rights, we will lose them. And so the founding fathers contemplated all of these things. They were, you know, in the Declaration of Independence, you know, the founding fathers talk about the Creator. And they said the Creator has endowed mankind with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And, you know, these come from God, not given by man. And so, you know, without, you know, making y'all not like me as much, you know, I could start talking about my 27th great-grandfather. And my 27th great-grandfather was the King of England. And people call him John the First, John Lackland. But to make a long story short, he's the whole reason that the Magna Carta came about. He wasn't the best king of the world. If you've ever seen the cartoon Robin Hood,
yeah,
that was my grandfather that sucked his thumb. That was the lion, you know. yeah, that was him. That was him. So hopefully, man, I'm doing a better job, you know, representing than that family member. But God has given us these rights, and we need to stand up for them.
Yeah.
We need to live them. And you know, some people say, hey, you know, it's not, you're not being very Christ-like, you know, if you talk about anything political, or, you know, it's just not true.
Yeah.
You know, we have to stand up for God in this world. It's part of what it means to be a witness.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Bible says, let God be true and let every man be a liar.
Right.
And so I believe that God is truth. I believe his word is truth. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And, you know, we have truth to proclaim. And so you have to know this. If you get discouraged, you just need to do one thing. You need to go to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and you could look at the last chapter, and we win.
Yeah.
We win. Now, from there, okay, the fact that we're still here and we have oxygen, we're supposed to occupy until he comes. And I'll tell you what, occupy doesn't mean that we sit in our little houses and we have God's trapped in the houses, because that's right. What people want. They want God trapped in the church and trapped in the houses with no way for God to escape into society. But we need to do, you know, what our brother said here, we need to let God let loose at the grocery store.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We need to let God loose at the car wash, you know? So, you know, kids need to be witnesses for Christ at their schools.
Yeah.
So, you know, we represent, you know, students and stuff that are standing for the Lord, these are all kinds of battles that we could spend hours and hours talking about, but people need to stand.
Yeah.
You know, WWJD, what would Jesus do?
Yeah.
And so remember, every one of us has a kingdom. Every one of us has a purpose. And so I think about in the Bible, in the book of Daniel, which is a prophetic book, it's really the first book of the book of Revelation. Revelation's really Revelation chapter 2, part 2, or Daniel part 2, but they go together. But, you know, they tried to make a law in Daniel chapter 6, and Daniel and the lion and, you know, it seems as though Daniel, who was the second most powerful person in Babylon, he was surprised when the law came out. But the one who was even more surprised was the guy who signed the law,
right.
King Darius. The king of Babylon, he was like, how could this terrible religious law have been signed? And they went, well, you signed it. And Steve, from just not paying attention or not doing anything else, he allowed a bad law to get into place that he couldn't do anything about. And as Christians, we need to be careful that we're not so sleeping on the job that we allow bad laws to come into existence, to come into place. And it starts in our locality. Somebody says, well, I'm not important. I just live in my own little town. Well, let me tell you something. I believe that somebody listening to me right now is a King Darius. You're a King Darius of Babylon. Now, you may not be the king of a country, but you know what? You're the king of your auto parts store where you live. You're the king of your world. You're a coach or you're something like this. We all have kingdoms, and we all have to stand in our kingdoms. That's what God has called us to do. We get so worried about, you know, who's going to be president, who's going to be that. You know, the question is, what are you going to do tomorrow?
That's right.
Amen. Come on.
And your family. Yeah. I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Right, right. You know, you brought up Daniel chapter 6, and I was going to actually kind of end the program tonight warning the people something that happened in Daniel chapter 7 that Daniel prophetically said. He said, he's talking about the days of the Antichrist. He said, he'll speak against the Most High and oppress his holy people and try to change set times and the laws. And so this is literally playing out before us. You know, you and I for years preached about these prophetic days that we live in right now. And we talked about them as if they were going to happen after we were gone, you know, but I've just been amazed at how this has unfolded so fast and how these agendas have gotten turbocharged in every direction. And just sweeping across the nation like they are. I've just been absolutely, totally amazed by that. Well, Frank, I just want to thank you so much for standing, first of all, for standing for the gospel of Christ and then standing for the rights of people of faith. And I want to tell the people, remind them again, you can get Frank Harber's book, Objection Overruled. It's a free copy of that book on defendingthefaith.law, defendingthefaith.law. Frank, I look forward to seeing you, man. I really miss you a whole bunch. I really do. I miss our times and our talks, and so I look forward to one day being able to sit down with you and can't wait for you to come to Cookeville, Tennessee and light this church up preaching. So you got to tell me when you want to come. I'll make the schedule happen. You just show up.
I'm ready, man. I'm ready to come.
Well, thank you so much, and we appreciate you. We're going to let you get out of here. We know you got other things to do, and so thanks again for joining us tonight. God bless you for all you do, my friend.
God bless you, Shane Warren.
See you, buddy. Well, guys, we want to thank you guys for tuning in tonight and letting us pour into your life. We've hoped that this has been a blessing, that this program has touched your life. And again, I want to remind you, get Objection Overruled by Frank Harber. It'll bless your life. It's a great book. It's free. You can go to defendingthefaith.law and download that book. You'll really enjoy that book. And anything that Frank has written, if you can find any articles, anything like that. Frank is one of the smartest men I've ever been around in my life, and I'm not just saying that, throwing that out there. Listen, there's a couple things I want to remind you of really quickly before we go off the air and before we end this podcast. Number one, if you have not subscribed, please subscribe. Our subscription has been going up. We've averaging hundreds of people a week jumping on and subscribing. Make sure that you hit that thumbs up button. Smash it, smash it, smash it. That helps us in the algorithms. Make sure that you comment on the video. Make sure that you share this video whenever you get off here. We want to get as many people as we can on this so that we can make them aware that truth has to be objective. It cannot be subjective. We need to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. As always, I want to thank all of my partners. If you have not partnered with Shane Warren Ministries, we need your help. All that we do, it costs money, it costs resources. We need your help. Just to give you an example, this next week, I'm going to be in different states, multiple states, all over the United States, preaching the gospel, sharing the word of the Lord. And if you partner with me, that helps us. You can do that by texting SWM to 73256. And if you'll partner with me for $20 or more a month, I'll send you one of my hats. And I got some brand new books. I might even throw one of those brand new books and sign a copy of it for you, Unlocking the Heavens. Well, again, guys, thank you so much for being a part of the program today. We love you guys. Don't miss next week. We're going to talk about gun laws, and we're going to talk about the right to bear arms next week. It's going to get hot and heavy, so make sure that you don't miss that. Love you guys. Thank you all for tuning in to Shane Warne Live. We'll see you next Thursday.